Good morning. It's a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning and welcome to the ranks of the top broadcasters. We so appreciate your being here, Jesse.
Thanks for having me. The holidays have started up. Hanukkah started yesterday. Christmas is this week. Is there anything that you're most looking forward to this holiday season, Alan?
It's the Christmas Hanukkah season, and we are all expecting big things. Some people get depressed around Christmas and Hanukkah because they expect too much. Well, they're just other days, but they're wonderful days, and we all get to celebrate together, and it's a great thing.
Well, let's get started here. Let's take a look at some of the weekend's headlines. From the New York Times, Fear and Loyalty, How Donald Trump Took Over the Republican Party. The president demands complete fealty. To cross him is to risk losing a future in the Republican Party. The article says GOP lawmakers have been left with two choices, vote with their feet by retiring or mute their criticism of him.
Well, that's right. John Kennedy wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. And in the past, during the Watergate time, we saw it. You know, Republicans who knew that it wasn't great for the party to kick out a president and to hold him responsible did it anyway. That is not happening right now. So there is certainly fear and loathing on the campaign trail. What I would like to see, of course, and I think a lot of other people would, is Republican senators, four of them anyway, speaking their minds and saying, you know what, this political office is not worth it. If it means I have to give up my integrity as a senator and as a human being, I'm not going to do that. It's more important to go down in the history books as somebody who stood up to a guy who sometimes acted like a tyrant than be afraid of that person. And when you're afraid, everything goes down the drain. That's what's happened here. We see it over and over again. Every time one of these situations comes up, we see, for example, Susan Collins from Maine talking good. But in fact, it turns out she ends up doing fealty to this president. The same thing with so many others. He has made it clear that no matter who gets in his way, he's going to stomp on them. He did it with his own attorney general. All the people he's appointed have fear of him. Instead of standing up and saying, the history books were recorded that at the right time I did the right thing, they don't do that. And that is very, very scary.
Well, also from the New York Times this weekend, American military and intelligence officials are tracking North Korea's actions by the hour, saying they are bracing for an imminent test of an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching American shores. North Korea promised a Christmas gift if no progress had been made on lifting sanctions. CNN says the gift could be a hardline policy toward the U.S., where denuclearization is off the table amid perceptions that President Trump is vulnerable politically.
Well, let's remember, Jesse, that sitting right next to North Korea is China. They've got to have something to say about this also. I mean, the one thing that this world cannot afford is a nuclear confrontation. And if, in fact, this guy goes too far, the Chinese are aware that missiles might start flying. I doubt that's going to happen. I think he knows that there's a point of no return and that they couldn't possibly survive if he did that. But there are many people who think that the North Korean leader is insane and will do things that are not productive, even if it means the end, as we know it, of his country. Do I think that's going to happen? I do not. But it is Mr. Trump. It's going to be up to him to see how far he'll let them go and what he will do with them. You know, when you're as old as I am, there's a memory of the various crises that were faced by people like John F. Kennedy. Who knew that he had to face down Khrushchev? And he did. Of course, he gave away a lot. Khrushchev gave a lot. But in the end, the world survived. And now we are facing that kind of a threat.
Well, now, meanwhile, in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has begun unveiling proposals as part of his 2020 State of the State agenda, covering net neutrality, gender discrimination, and the sale of untaxed cigarettes, and more. What are your thoughts so far? What else do you think his agenda might include?
Well, I think, Jesse, that the main thing to remember about Andrew Cuomo is he's sort of boxed in. He is waiting to see whether he can win a fourth term. Now, that fourth term is very important to him. His father, of course, was denied a fourth term. Perhaps because it was a difficult year for the Democrats, he lost. And it is one thing on Andrew Cuomo's mind. He's throwing out a lot of things onto the table. He's got a lot of projects going, and the state, not surprisingly, is basically broke. We're spending more than we have, and we have a deficit. And in New York, that's not permitted to have a deficit. It may be on the federal level, but not on the state level. So he's got to be watching And he's got to be watching, for example, his own state Senate, which has a progressive element to it, which will want to spend more, not less. In the meantime, you know, he's announcing all kinds of major construction projects all over the place. We now hear, for example, that he's going to pay for the Tappan Zee or now Mario M. Cuomo Bridge by adding a dollar on to the crossing cost of that. And he is really in a tough spot because he has to decide how to spend and he's got to decide how to rein in this runaway budgetary process. Those are the things to look for.
Well, then turning to the Democratic presidential primary, while many of the candidates are still fresh off Thursday's debate and fighting to qualify for the next one in January, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is planning to increase campaign staff and keep battleground states like Pennsylvania and Florida. The Washington Post says he plans to keep offices open through November, even if he isn't the candidate.
Michael Bloomberg is a man who has as much money as anybody could possibly want. He's getting to an older age now, and he's always wanted to be president. We all know that. And he has enough money to make that happen or to try to make that happen, and he will make it happen if he has his way. So keeping his offices open until November means, hey, I'm in it until the end. I'm going to spend what it takes. You can't turn the television on without seeing a Bloomberg ad. The latest polls show him about 7%, not enough to win, especially not compared to Joe Biden. But he's going to stay in, and he's going to do his best. He's a man not to be trifled with.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, thanks for, I guess, putting up with me this early this morning.
You were terrific, by the way, and I'm very impressed. So thank you so much for doing it in David's absence. And we'll look forward to talking to you on the air again.